You're listening to Women's Magazine on KPFA 94.1. My name is Valet Barra. I'm here with my guest, Rose Aguilar. She is the host of the daily call-in show, Your Call, on KALW 91.7 in San Francisco. She recently wrote an article that appeared in The Nation in February. The article is called Old Female and Homeless. It's about San Francisco. Over a three-month period, Rose went around to various shelters and organizations in San Francisco to gain the trust of various women so that she could interview them. You can read her article at thenation.com and search Old Female and Homeless. So you wrote a story in The Nation called Old Female and Homeless, and that's about San Francisco. And it's really interesting to me. I'm a native San Franciscan, so it's always been issues of homelessness in the news and around me and obviously, you know, right in front of me. But San Francisco, to me, kind of has this reputation of it's a place where homeless people tend to come because there are so many services. But in your article, you found some holes in those services and some growing problems. What did you discover about what it means to be female and homeless in San Francisco?
Well, I first started thinking about this about a year ago. I was riding the bus home at 2:30, 3 in the morning, and I noticed an older woman sitting in the front of the bus. And usually at that time, it's a bunch of people who are leaving the bars. And I was wondering, what is she doing on the bus? So I sat next to her, and I started talking to her. And I said, do you mind me asking you why you're on the bus? And she had some dirt under her fingernails. And she said, well, I'm going to a 24-hour coffee shop. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, I didn't get a bed in a shelter tonight, so the guy who runs the cafe lets me sleep there in the booths. And I said, how often does this happen? And she said, fairly regularly. And I said, and are there other people sleeping there? And she said, a few. And I said, whoa. I mean, I just kind of, I couldn't get that image out of my mind. So I started doing a little bit of research. I wondered how common is this? And I noticed that when you see homeless people on the streets of San Francisco, you'll notice that 95% of them are men. You rarely see women on the streets. And I later learned that it's because the streets are so dangerous for women. You are 100% guaranteed to be assaulted on the streets as a woman, according to the advocates I met, even if you double up with a man, because he could flip on you on a dime. So I started doing my research by going to places like St. Anthony's, where they provide free lunches, they provide, you name it. People walk in there without shoes. They'll give you a pair of shoes and socks and clean clothes. I started going to shelters. I really was observing for about a month, because you cannot really write one of these stories in a week. And that's why we really need investigative journalism in this country, because you can't get the real story in a week. So I got to know people in a month, and I gained their trust, and they started introducing me to people. And I kept hearing about this place called Oshun. And people said, have you been to the plastic chair shelter? And I said, excuse me? And they said, there's a shelter where women sleep in plastic chairs. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. And they said, no, go check it out for yourself. And so I did. And it's an unassuming building. You have no idea where it is. It's right by the 101 on-ramp by Rainbow Grocery. And I walked in, and I was floored. It's a fairly large room with a big TV, and it's bad lighting. About 45 chairs, and women are in the chairs. Some of them are sleeping, and that's where they sleep. It's supposed to be a walk-in center. But because a lot of women either can't get a bed in a shelter or they don't feel safe in the shelters, they sleep there. Now, imagine when you fly across the country and how your body hurts. Imagine sleeping like that every night. It's utterly shocking that in a city like San Francisco, where a studio apartment now costs you $2,000 a month, that women are sleeping in chairs.
And that's one of the problems that we're seeing in San Francisco, is we have this huge hike in cost of living, and so many people, even myself included, have trouble even living in San Francisco, a city, you know, where I'm from. But then we see how the services suffer, because everything is kind of strained at this point, and we have women who are sleeping in plastic chairs all night in a walk-in center because they have no place else that's safe for them to go.
Right. And the system is just bursting at the seams. This issue is becoming such a problem. When you think about the fact that the baby boomers are aging and politicians want to raise the retirement age and there are no jobs, especially if you're over 50, there's massive age discrimination going on and it's easier to hire a college grad for half the salary with no benefits. What are we going to do with these people? I think we really need to ask these questions. Politicians aren't talking about it, and it doesn't really get much attention. The other interesting thing that I found is that when I did the interviews, I was only able to get the stories from women who could speak with me for a few hours at a time and maybe see me multiple times over 3 months. I wasn't able to interview people with mental illnesses, and I think that's really important because homelessness almost leads to mental illness. Like, you're almost guaranteed to have a mental illness because it's so difficult to navigate the system. I could only spend 3 hours at a time in the plastic chair shelter because it was such an intense experience. You've got women yelling for no reason, 5 conversations going on that don't make sense, people fighting. It's just, it's a lot. And then you're overwhelmed by the fact that these women who look like your grandmother are sleeping in a chair. So the people with the mental illnesses, obviously I didn't know that by approaching them, but a couple minutes after we would speak, they would either yell at me or they wouldn't make sense or they would change their story. So I couldn't even get their story. I could only get the story of women who maybe 5 years ago were married and they had a bad divorce and they didn't know how to deal with finances. This happens a lot. Or in some cases, women would be taking care of their parents. The parents would die, and the siblings were supposed to share the money from the sale of the home, and the siblings took the money and left the state. And one woman I interviewed, Marsha, she's 56. She had a stroke. Her sister took the money and left the state, and then she got hit by a car. None of her family members or friends would help her. A lot of the women I interviewed said, I would call family members and friends, and I never got a call back. And now they're living in shelters. This could be really any of us. So it's not just, you know how the media tends to demonize the poor and the homeless? It's not just those, you know, people who are walking around talking to themselves on the streets, because that's the image we get constantly. It's such a tired image. These are women who 5 or 10 years ago were either married or taking care of parents, and now they are living in shelters, sleeping in a chair. Marsha was actually living in an SRO, a single room occupancy. She's living on about $900 a month in Social Security. Half of it went to rent, and she said it was a horrible apartment. Not even an apartment. It's basically a room with a stove in really bad condition. Half of it went to rent, and because there's no fridge or kitchen, the other half went to mostly processed foods. And by the end of the month, she had 10 bucks on her debit card and said, I've never been so poor. So she moved out of the SRO, and she's in shelters. I cannot find her, and I've been searching high and low for her. She said she was planning to go to Reno when she could get enough money for a bus ticket because the cost of living is much cheaper there. So I'm thinking that's what happened to her.
And we see this cost of living rising all over the country where people are losing jobs and losing their benefits. And so what are some of the projections for this increase that we're seeing? Because maybe if it had happened 15 years ago, they would have been able to reestablish themselves. But with the way the economy's been in the past 10 years or so, it's, I mean, like you said, it's even really difficult for almost anybody to get a job these days.
That's right. The advocates I interviewed said back in the 90s, if you saw older homeless people on the streets, it was shocking. Today, it's the norm. They were also able to find them housing back then, and they can't today because there is so little affordable housing. And then the housing that we do have is just being jacked up in rent. And it's really important to note a couple statistics. Okay, just in San Francisco, according to the Department of Aging and Adult Services, we've got 155,000 seniors living here. 19,000 live below the federal poverty line. This is $10,300 for one person, okay, in a city like San Francisco. And then for a two-person household, it's $13,000. These are the official numbers, so imagine how much higher it is. There's a group in Boston, Massachusetts, that it's one of the only organizations in the country that follows the elder homeless population, which was actually surprising to me. It found that there are 40,750 homeless people 62 or older The advocates say that is very low. That number is expected to more than double by 2050. The advocates say it'll be much, much higher because, again, there's no affordable housing. Between 1978 and 1983, HUD's, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, their budget was slashed by 77%. There is no money for affordable housing. And every time I ask for solutions, that is at the top of the list. They say, we need affordable housing. In fact, the Coalition on Homelessness crunched the numbers recently and found that the amount of money that the U.S. spends in Iraq and Afghanistan in 1 month could house every man, woman, and child in this country in luxurious housing every year.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
It's just such a sinking reality, but it's a reality that we need to be talking about. So we're putting this out there. We're letting people know, like, this is really what's happening. And if we can compare, if we still believe that we live in a democracy and we live in a country where the people have the voice to influence what happens and the laws that are made, these are the types of things that people need to realize, because you might not think about them now. You might be 30 or 40 years old and think, oh, well, I have a job right now. At least I'm paying rent. I may be saving something. Maybe I'll go on a vacation this year. Who knows? But really, this idea of planning for the future is really scary, especially considering the fact that so many people had planned so well, had been in their homes, maybe paid off their homes, and then got into some sort of another refinance from some sort of predatory lender, and then ended up on the streets. So nothing is guaranteed at this point. So what we're looking at is a broken system, or a system that's had legs knocked out from under it, like with the funding for affordable housing and the language about affordable housing. Because I think a lot of times when we talk about affordable housing in San Francisco,
right,
it's still not really affordable.
Right.
So how can we help alleviate this problem? How can we help prevent more cases of aging women and men from ending up homeless in San Francisco?
I mean, to be honest, I think we're in trouble. I think it's going to get a lot worse because the social safety net has been just decimated over the past decade. And of course, it's not just the past decade. It's the past four decades since Reagan. I mean, we've had trickle-down economics, which we know doesn't trickle down, cutbacks to social services, rising income inequality, attacks on unions, the privatization of public services. You can go on and on and on. And this is what we have. It's going to take a long time to get out of this mess because there is zero political will. People aren't even talking about this issue. It's amazing to me that this is growing, especially in a place like San Francisco. I've been doing radio interviews across the country. People cannot believe it. We have to start talking about this. And also, you know, women in particular, they're dealing with not only the violence on the streets, but people don't realize how hard it is to be homeless. I mean, if you're staying the night in a shelter, in some cases you have to get up at 3:30 in the morning to go in line at 4 a.m. to get a bed that night. You're told by 7 a.m. if you get the bed. So you're out on a sidewalk, frankly, where you don't want to be at 4 until 7 in the morning, right? It's not safe. Okay, so let's say you get a bed. Well, you can't go until 5 p.m. So what do you do all day? Well, you got to get back on the bus and either go to the library, go to one of these amazing organizations that provide free lunches, because they are, I don't know how these people do it, every day they're providing free lunches, and they don't know where the women are going. And it's just heartbreaking because they dedicate their lives to this. You might get on the bus, you might get on BART and ride it all day. That's what these women do. And the other thing is, you don't know they're homeless. And I want to put that in quotes, right? They take good care of themselves. They might be sitting right next to you and you do not know that they're homeless. They might have a bag with them. That's the other thing. Imagine having a suitcase with you and nowhere to store it. What do you do? You have to lug it around. I think about my mom, who's in her early 60s. Her back's going out on her. Her body's in a little bit of pain. I can't imagine her having to go from a shelter to a walk-in center with her bags and then maybe go to the library or get on BART all day and then go get lunch and then get back on the bus, take a ride on BART, go try to get dinner, and then go to the shelter. I mean, do you know what that does to your body and then your psyche?
It's so incredibly taxing. And that's the kind of story we need, the fact that people are constantly on the move.
Right. They are.
How can you even attempt to reestablish any sort of normalcy when this is what you're having to do to survive in America, which is billowing over with excess.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is this country has so much money. We always hear we're broke. We're not broke. The last military spending bill that was passed without almost any debate was $633 billion. We are not broke. The priorities are just so messed up, and I really fear that this is going to hit people in the face. A lot of people do not see this coming. I mean, I was at BART at Palin Market the other night. Usually I see maybe three or four men sleeping in the train station. I saw 12. I've never seen this many. I mean, this issue is just increasing. And we need to start really talking about this. And you know, a lot of the advocates I interviewed said, the city is not going to want to talk to you about the plastic chairs. It's the elephant in the room.
Right, because of the reputation that San Francisco has, and also just the fact that it's not working for people anymore. And the increase of homeless people, I've seen it too.
Yeah, and we have to ask, what do we want to do with these people? Do you want to let them die on the streets? Do you want to put them in a shelter where they sleep in chairs? Just be honest about it. Just, we need to ask this question.
And I think that part of the problem is that, you know, it's interesting because I teach English to international students, and I always get this question, why are there so many homeless people in San Francisco? And so, you know, I try to give them some sort of answer, and it's so hard because it doesn't, you know, yeah, people come here because there's services, but then we have all these failing services, and if they're coming from different cultures, they can't understand why people would be homeless.
Well, and the organizations I want to say that I spent time with, they do amazing work. Like St. Anthony's will not take money from the government because they don't want restrictions. Mm-hmm. Everyone and anyone is welcome there. It does not matter what condition you're in. It doesn't matter where you come from, what you look like. Everyone is welcome. And if you want to take bags of food home with you, you can. That's the thing. These organizations do so much with so little. And they are just, every day, they're out there doing this with their amazing volunteers. And this work is not easy. And they are seeing a massive, massive demand. And the other thing is, I did meet people who come here from other states. Yeah. And they're either sent here or the city has a reputation, because you won't starve here. You're definitely going to find a meal. Now, the quality of the food, you have to find good places that provide good quality. But you will not starve in San Francisco. The problem is housing. That's the main problem.
How can we move forward? Who do we need to talk to? What do we need to do?
Well, first of all, start talking about this. Get it out there, the fact that the homeless issue is real. And no, it's that stereotype of, and I don't want to sort of minimize what homeless men go through, because it is as equally important. But the media just throw this face out there, and I think people become numb to it. It's like, oh, there's another drunk guy on the corner. Oh, there's another guy talking to himself. I'm going to avoid him so he doesn't ask me for money, right?
Right.
Well, these people have stories too. But we really need to start talking about this. And I think that in San Francisco right now, there's all this hype around Twitter moving downtown and the technology boom and all these restaurants on Valencia Street and rents going up. But wait a minute. What kind of city are we creating? What kind of city do we want to live in? And how do we want to take care of our older people who don't have any alternatives? It's really scary to me. Honestly, this project it's one of the most intense things I've ever done. I was just completely blown away by what I found and just how we treat people in this country. It's shameful.
And I agree with you about the focus that our city government seems to have, which is, let's be business friendly.
Exactly.
Well, okay. Well, you're still functioning on this kind of, it's almost outdated of this mentality of, well, okay, if we bring businesses here, that means more people are going to come here, more people are going to spend money. Okay. So that may be true, but you're not making it a people focused. And I feel like San Francisco is a people city.
Well, what happens when the next bubble bursts?
Right.
Because this is not going to last forever.
Exactly.
I mean, I've talked to cab drivers, and they know so much about what goes on. And they said the Facebook bubble is on the verge of bursting. I mean, don't take my word for this. This is what I'm hearing from cab drivers. But this isn't going to last. Just, I was around in the mid-90s. People remember what happened back then.
Right. And the only debates now are saying, you have all these voices coming out saying, well, no, it's actually not the same situation. So we're not going to experience the same bubble bursting again. But I don't buy it.
Well, the other thing that we have to talk about is, Because I'm trying to visualize what this looks like. All right, let's say we've got the money for the housing. Where would it be? The Coalition on Homelessness said there are a number of places where you can refurbish old buildings, build new affordable housing so these people can live there. Okay, you have that. Once that's done, you're going to need mental health counselors. You're going to need massive medical staff, nurses on site to take care of people that have disabilities and whose bodies are just going out on them. You're going to need kitchens to feed the people. You're going to need, it's going to be a massive undertaking. So again, is it worth the investment to ensure that people are not, women are not sleeping in plastic chairs? That's what we have to ask ourselves.
That is a very, very important question. And it is one of those questions that is so jarring that might actually shake people up. So we will keep talking about this. And definitely, I'm glad you brought up St. Anthony's. I mean, it's such a cornerstone organization in San Francisco.
They do amazing work. The Coalition, Mission Neighborhood Health Center, they've got ladies' night once a week where women who live on the streets can for 2 hours just be women. They can get their hair done. They can have massages. They can crank up the radio and dance. They can eat just to kind of get away from the streets because it's so difficult. And they can just be and they can have fun with each other. These organizations really do such great work. That's one thing you can do is support these organizations.
This is a human rights issue we're talking about. And I think a lot of people walk around thinking, well, in other parts of the world, oh, these poor people, and maybe, you know, they can't vote or they're so poor that they don't have enough to eat. And it's a very far away problem that people can kind of compartmentalize. And maybe they address it in some way, maybe they don't. But really, we're talking about right here in San Francisco with a massive human rights problem of people living on the streets, being assaulted on the streets, not having places to go, not having really the access to try to get back on their feet and move forward. So, Rose Aguilar, thank you for writing this article. And I think that the Nation, the people who read the Nation, it's going to wake something up for them.
Let's hope. Thank you.